I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News Jenny Archibald, mayoral candidate. Hi, Jenny.
Good morning, Michael.
Well, you're my last mayoral candidate out of the barrier, Jenny. There's five of you. It's quite a time. How's it all going?
It's going really well. It's a lot of fun to be out there on the streets, chatting to people, being out there. So it's doing well. Yep.
Well, this morning, we're in the West End of Fremantle and it's bucketing down. You wouldn't want to be strolling the streets just now, I imagine. But tell me, as I've asked all candidates, whether they're for council or for the mayor, why are you running, Jenny?
It's a difficult question to answer, actually, to be quite honest, because I had actually decided that I was going to retire. Fidel Camarda was coming up in the same ward as me, and I was very pleased to hand it over, let him run for the seat. So I had decided to step out. But then I sort of started thinking more about what was happening in Fremantle, how people were feeling, some of the feedback I had been getting from people. And then I just thought, well, maybe I'll just give it one more election, only one, and run for mayor. Because I think there are a lot of things we could try and do working with our community in a much more collaborative way than perhaps are currently happening. And we have a very astute community. We've got people out there who are coming up with great ideas, and I think it'd be great to get in and back a lot of those ideas.
Jenny, as people will see from your profile that accompanies this podcast, and people understand, you have a long history in local government here in Freo. You've been the mayor, currently the deputy mayor, and a long association with Fremantle. But going back to the comments you've just made, what are the sorts of issues that have, if you like, become of some concern and led to you running?
Well, I think it's, first and foremost for me, it's how we communicate with our community. I mean, I was around during the 80s and the 90s when we did a huge amount in our community. Of course, we all debate it, which is very much the Fremantle style. There's always a lot of debate. But some very good things were done. And a lot of what Fremantle is today sits off the back of a lot of that work done by many people. So I think that we can sort of do a lot more than we currently are that makes people feel like this is still their home, this is still their town. It's not just a tourist town. It's not just a place we're trying to, you know, build bigger buildings in. It is home to our community as well. So that's a part of it. I think also because Fremantle is discussing a lot of the issues that are facing us today, and the federal government's just come out with the climate assessment report. We have already started as a council to look at the climate assessment, or not the climate assessment report, but climate assessment from a local government point of view. And there are a lot of areas there that we can start to tackle that currently we aren't. And that to me would be of great interest, because while we may think that we can't make much effect globally, when you look at the stats on Australia, I think we really have to do something. Whatever we can do will ameliorate some little part of the problem.
Bringing things down to a more, as I say, finely grained picture, what are the sorts of things that you have in mind?
Well, at the moment, well, just to put it into perspective, Australia is number 16 on the worldometer list as an emitter of carbon. We are 0.33% of the population of the globe, and yet we pump out, you know, three times the global average per capita of carbon. But we're here in Australia, which technologically can do almost anything it puts its mind to. So I also have been a bit of a researcher in climate change over time, and it's very real and it can do all sorts of impactful things. So we can do a great deal as a city to make ourselves more resilient. We can also, as a community, do more things that will help the process. At the moment, we've got a working group set up, which Jemima Williamson-Wong chairs. And that group, I think it was in August, came to council. We recommended four areas, which were areas that we as a local government could tackle. And a part of that's dealing with the port, you know, seeing if we can get them to take on board some recommendations, because they are the biggest emitter in our city of carbon. And another area was working with community, where we could come up with information and that would help people make choices about what they do. And also, there are a lot of community groups out there who can who have already got great ideas, and we can get in and back those ideas and help them make it happen. So there's more, you know, there's lots more.
Jenny, in terms of yes, broader Fremantle, it's not just a tourist town. It's not just a place where people come on a Friday or Saturday or Sunday night to eat and drink. People live here and love it. Are there sort of particular issues that face people who live what we sometimes like to call the suburbs, the sort of ward that you were a member of?
Yeah, that's part of the feedback I've been getting on many people in the community out there, like, you know, in the more suburban areas, are starting to say, well, we just don't bother coming down to Fremantle anymore, which I find really sad and difficult to accept because the town is changing. There are plenty of those people who would love to be back involved with the city, and so some of those areas would be good to explore. I'm not obviously the only one with the ideas. I think there are plenty of good ideas out there. So part of that, making them feel again very connected back to our central area. So that's one of the issues. The other thing that we recently were doing was something in public health. You know, we're doing a public health plan, and which all local governments do. And some of the stats coming through from that is that generally people are feeling more lonely, more, you know, disconnected, are generally not feeling as positive as they used to, and that indicator has been declining since 2007. So we need to kind of think, okay, what can we do on the ground out there as a local government that brings people together? But I think really we could do it in conjunction with activities that might also give us a positive outcome in other ways as well. Yep.
I get the sense from what you're saying that it's a fear that maybe we're losing a sense of community or communities around Fremantle.
Yeah, I think that's it. You know, I think because we were so engaged as a community to try and achieve what we did achieve during the 80s and 90s, and a lot has happened since too, you know, it's been a fabulous progression of work that's been done since. But that connection needs to be made back again, I think, and get people linking back in, feeling positive again. There's been a fair amount of a period where people have felt quite disconnected from what's going on, and that to me is a bit disappointing.
From some people, generally, but also amongst some of the candidates, there's this notion, in fact, Fremantle Shipping News ran a story written by Barry Healy, a committed Marxist. He has a column on the Shipping News called Seeing Red, and Barry opined that this local government election should be all about AUKUS. What do you think?
What do I think about AUKUS? Well,
well, not so much what you think about AUKUS, but whether the local government election should be all about AUKUS.
I don't think it should be all about AUKUS. I think it's an important part of our discussion. It is something that is impactful for across our whole region, so it is something we need to pay attention to, definitely. And I guess from my personal point of view, there are many people far more astute in the area of defence than that who are questioning why we're doing what we're doing. It does seem to me like something we should be very careful about and question exactly what is proposed there.
Well, obviously there's a lot happening, and you start to see the full picture with the area around Henderson going down to Garden Island, the naval and generally defence-related industries. It's a big economic transformation that Fremantle, one way or the other, will be a part of, I suppose.
I think there's a fair amount that's going on at Henderson that will be very positive. The shipbuilding that is proposed, that there's some, you know, a lot of the shipbuilding for the Australian fleet will be done at Henderson, and I think some of that would be excellent. I think the biggest question for people is the US link to the base and the issue of the nuclear powered, plus or minus nuclear armed ships coming in. Subs.
And we've got the Australian Submarine Agency tomorrow night in Fremantle, addressing some questions. I imagine it'll be a bit of a protest meeting as well.
I'm sure it will be. If Fremantle's got any style, they'll be there in force, yes.
We're a bolshy lot down here in Frio. Now, you've been out, probably in your wellies in this weather. You wouldn't have had too much shoe leather to waste, just the rubber on your sneakers or whatever. But when you knock on doors or see people out in their gardens and introduce yourself, and they ask you, well, just tell us, Jenny, what are your big three cutting through issues that would lead to me voting for you as mayor?
Well, first and foremost, I would like to think we could connect better with our community again, first and foremost. And that will deliver a lot of very good things, I believe. There are clever people out there with lots of great ideas, as I've mentioned. The second thing would be around some of that, what can we do as a community in terms of climate mitigation? But three things. I think where the city is currently going, there's a lot of very good things that have been happening in the CBD and in other areas, and we need to keep those things, that momentum going. I mean, we went through COVID where I know that a lot of the traders were slammed, they're still recovering, many of them are still recovering, and we need to keep helping those people to do whatever they can to get their trade back to where it might have been. Also, we've got the impact of the bridge about to happen early next year, so I just don't know quite how that's going to roll out for many of those traders. It will be a nightmare. So looking after the economy of the city in that sense, doing whatever we can, will be really important, I think. Yeah.
Jenny, on a number of occasions, just during the course of this discussion, you've been reflecting on the way, in a sense, that the city communicates with the broader citizenry, if you like. What do you have in mind? How can that be made, if better is the right word, different? How does it become an optimal collaboration between the, what I'm calling the citizenry and those who rule us, Jenny, you and others?
No, I'm not sure I rule. I think it's a collaborative thing, first and foremost. We're a council, and I have, you know, I've worked with some very interesting councillors, so it's a council. But all of us are out in touch with our communities, and we need to collaborate personally, I think. We get out there, get to the meetings, go talk to people, be much more in that space, and listen to what they have to say. You know, you can never do enough of that to get good community outcomes, so I think we need to keep doing that.
Are there particular techniques? I mean, we have precincts in Fremantle, and yeah. Sometimes wonder, I mean, everything has its day and then seems to wear out, but are there other techniques? I mean, how do or may members of council, mayors, get to collaborate with a small C and learn what's happening?
Well, the precinct system actually came in 97, I think it was, and that was while I was mayor before. And the idea was, you know, you get it going and what works, works, and sometimes they don't always work. Sometimes they come and then for a while they go. But the structure is there for those systems to be there. And very, very pleased that yesterday, a group in Beaconsfield have said they're starting up a new precinct. So it was kind of like, felt great. You know, this is what we need. Those local areas can get those things going. But we do a lot of work electronically now with our MySay page on the website. And so you get a certain feed coming into that. But I think there's nothing that replaces going out to a public meeting, which we did in the 90s. You had to front up to people and talk to them personally. And to do more of that, I think, would be a really positive way to go. And so whether you turn up at the precincts or you turn up at... And, I went to every precinct meeting in Wycombe Valley in my two terms on council. I know a lot of the councillors do that, but there would be other meetings and that you could go to as well, just to stay informed and just be in the room. You don't need to be there to speak, just be in the room and listen.
Now, I adverted earlier to your local government history in Fremantle. If you like, did you learn from those days gone by when some of the issues no doubt were different in nature, perhaps broadly similar in character, but have you learnt things over that time that would inform your activities and how you'd be as mayor this time?
Yeah, I think so. It was pretty confronting sometimes being out there, being told very bluntly what people think. You have to I think put your own views aside and just listen and accept it. That's their point of view. They have every right to put their point of view. And so it's a really important part of that process.
Well, the postal votes are about to arrive in our letterboxes. What do we know from history? How many people, I imagine a very large proportion of the electorate who decide to vote, vote postal vote?
Postals actually raised the level of people voting in a local government election, so from that point of view it's fantastic. But I guess the new system, which is not proportional, it's not totally preferential, it's a mixture, so people can choose how they want to vote, whether they vote just one number, one or two numbers, or vote the whole ballot paper. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out in terms of people's response and where the election will finally land.
It's a very interesting process, the optional preferential. Are the candidates, as far as you know, suggesting that people should exercise their preferential vote, or is it just left entirely to candidates if they can be bothered to fill in five or four or three or two or just one box?
Left to the voters, you mean?
Yes.
So I don't know. I'm not aware of anybody at this stage saying how or suggesting how people should vote. I think generally, certainly from my point of view, I feel we'll let people know on my brochure that's coming out during the next week. It just pretty much says what the Electoral Commission's guidelines are, so they can make their own mind up about how they vote.
Well, it'll be fascinating. And what sort of percentage turnout do you think Fremantle's likely to have this time round? I think there's a lot of interest in the fact that there's five mayoral candidates, amongst other things.
Well, I hope it really cranks people up, because I think it would be great if there was a good show of support out there. But I'm not sure, really. I can't guess what the turnout will be.
The hardest thing about postal voting is you fill it out at home, but you don't have to find a red pillared box to put it in, Jenny.
Well, funny you should say that, because last night at the precinct meeting in White Gum Valley, we were complaining that the two we always went to are gone, and I went to one yesterday to post some mail I had, and it was no longer there. That was at Cafe Lumos. So I'm not sure when that one left, but you have to go. They're fewer and far between these days. So, yeah, you generally go to a post office.
I'm sure the committed voter will find it somewhere. Jenny Archibald, thank you for joining me today, and good luck with everything you're up to.
Thank you very much, Michael.